Welcome to the Hamilton Spectator Newsroom Insider. I'm David Crosby. Hamilton is, in many ways, defined by its geography. The escarpment that describes the city is also one of its distinguishing characteristics, providing natural vistas alongside regional identity. The escarpment is also a necessary fact for many, whether they live on its periphery or rely on its accesses for transport. With the rise in habitation and the passage of time, those buildings and accesses have become increasingly strained, prompting municipal response to combat the degradation of infrastructure that can have serious consequences. I'm joined today by Matthew Van Dongen to discuss his recent series chronicling the current state of a city continuously grappling with erosion. Matthew, you start your piece with a quote that I'm going to read to you. Do we have a moral or legal obligation to buy homes teetering on the brink? Do we spend tens of millions of dollars protecting motorists on escarpment roads but put off mountain climbing bike lanes? Should we fence off nature to save careless visitors from themselves? Do we? Do we have a responsibility? What do you think?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, when I talk to Donna, whose house is sort of in trouble right now along the Red Hill Valley, she makes a decent case. I mean, she's lived there all her life. She didn't plan where the house was built, but she's got to sort of deal with the consequences. You talk to the legal advisors with the city, and they say that that's kind of a classic buyer beware situation as well. So it's a tough one to sort out, but definitely an expensive one.
So then, where does the money come from for that? Is that taxpayer money?
Yes. Yeah, so far the city has come up with the cash. Sometimes they've been able to take it out of a project budget, like when they were building the Red Hill Valley Parkway. They used some of that money to buy a couple of houses that were in trouble.
What are the criteria for this deciding? I mean, there are so many houses along the brow.
Right, and they certainly aren't looking at buying those houses now. Some councillors are wondering aloud whether we should be having that discussion at some point. But right now there is no criteria. The last two that the city have purchased, the local councillor has come forward and say, look, let's do these poor residents a favor. It's a compassionate purchase rather than a legal responsibility at this point.
Right. Do you know offhand how many houses have been purchased?
For the story, I listed three examples. I've seen references to at least three or four more. Different councillors have recollections going back even before amalgamation of this occasionally popping up, but there's no list that I've come across to tell me exactly how many.
Right, okay. So you recently toured the leg of the Sherman Access that's out of repair right now, yeah?
Yes.
Can you describe what that was like?
It was pretty muddy and impressive.
What's the state of the wall there?
Yeah, well, they've removed all of the dangerous walls that would look like they might be someday in danger of giving way. It was pretty impressive, though. They showed me the remnants of one wall that holds up part of the road that you could actually see through the holes in the metal downslope. And so you got to wonder how good a job it would do if they had just left that in there. And the new walls are going in, but it's a very slow process, which lots of probably frustrated mountain commuters will already be able to tell you, because they've been waiting since July and it's not going to reopen until at least the end of November.
Right. So is there any solution to this? I mean, like, is there a blanket solution to this beyond these kind of patchwork stuff that's going on? This is very expensive no matter what you do, but we need these accesses, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're noted to be very important connective tissue of the city, I guess, if you want your mountain and your lower city interacting.
Right.
I think the city appears to be on the right track. They're actually coming up with a comprehensive strategy now rather than treating rock slides and various problems as one-offs or isolated incidents. And that's costing a little bit more money. I note in one story that some people probably find that hard to swallow, because there's a lot of roads that need safety work. You know, people all over the city will argue that they need more bike lanes, they need more safety infrastructure, or just speeding signs or ladder crossings, things to make the pedestrian experience safer and more enjoyable. And, you know, we have a lot more bike collisions and pedestrian collisions than we do injuries from falling rocks. In fact, we learned through the story that although plenty of cars get hit by falling rocks from year to year. None of them so far have resulted in a serious injury, at least in the last 20 years that we can track.
Would this then be more of a priority because of perceived inconvenience then? I know that as soon as one of the accesses is closed, it creates traffic nightmares in the morning.
That's true, and that's probably part of it. But I also spoke to a gentleman who was, in his eyes, lucky enough to be at the scene of that big slope collapse along the Claremont Access in 2012. He was driving along, and he noticed somebody swerve off the road, so he pulled off as well, and he got out of his car and looked up, and all of a sudden, you know, a couple of big retaining walls the size of a house just gave way, and everything tumbled onto the road. Since he was a freelance photographer, he was very excited about it. He got the shot of a lifetime, is what he called it.
Yeah.
Your average person probably would have been terrified. So you can sort of see the potential for catastrophe if that were to happen during rush hour or a similar scenario.
Sure, but as you say, it hasn't. Is that just luck that it hasn't at this point?
Yeah, I put that question actually to the city's risk manager, and he thought for a while and then said he preferred to rack it up to proper precautions on behalf of the city rather than luck.
Sure.
And I guess that's what they're aiming to do with this influx of cash and new planning then as well.
Do you think that, I guess because of the nature of the city and because it's such an important piece of infrastructure and, it literally connects, you know, the two halves of the city, that this should have priority or does have priority over places elsewhere in the city, like the Beach Boulevard, you know, where it's also, you have environmental factors encroaching upon private property.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I'm, the way the, you know, I'm doing three stories on the various risks and challenges the city has to deal with in terms of gravity along the escarpment, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about risky sports and hiking near waterfalls. We're talking about rocks falling down from the escarpment. We're talking about houses that might be at risk of falling down. And in all those scenarios, the city has cautiously told me that they are dealing with a different sort of legal and liability framework than they might have been 20 years ago. So 20 years ago, if you had been hiking around a waterfall and you'd fallen down and hurt yourself, it's very unlikely that you would have been able to successfully sue the city. Today, they tell me that is no longer a sure bet, so they have to take action that to some people seems out of proportion to the risk.
Why is that? What's changed in terms of liability?
It seems like there's a stricter bar that the city has to reach these days. I mean, you see that reflected in even our much maligned tobogganing laws, right? We ban it, and yet somebody still takes a toboggan down a hill, hurts themselves, and successfully sues the city for $1 million. That's sort of the bar that they have to weigh things against now, which is why they're not going to let you paraglide off the escarpment anymore either, even though no one has been injured doing that, to my knowledge.
Does this come from that whole, caution hot coffee McDonald's lawsuit kind of thing?
I guess something like that.
Yeah.
But certainly they're being more cautious, and they probably have some nasty lawsuit examples to back up why they feel they have to be that cautious.
Right.
That said, a lot of people will probably be frustrated by some of those actions they have to take, whether it's, you know, stopping you from going to the bottom of Albion Falls or stopping you from slacklining with a safety harness at your local waterfall.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about or add?
I am just so happy that, you know, I started looking at this type of series. I started thinking about it shortly after I moved to Hamilton, and I took my first drive up the mountain and saw the hospital perched right at the edge, and I thought, wow, is that going to fall off someday? And now I got to pose that question to hospital officials, who very patiently explained why it's not going to fall off. But I think everybody wonders about that sort of thing, so I'm glad that I got to write about it.
That's reassuring to hear. The hospital's not going anywhere. Thank you so much, Matthew.
Thank you.